Well, we're going to dismiss Junior Church, and we're going to do our lesson this morning, and we're going to bring the board over here. I'm going to try my best. To do this as quickly as I can. There's so much to cover, but it is such an important part of our lives. And what we're talking about is developing intimacy with God through prayer. How many of you struggle in your prayer life? You struggle in your prayer life. How many of you don't? Really? Some of you don't. You have strong. Okay, good. But this morning, we're going to talk about how you can have an even better, stronger prayer life. And you realize that, again, if you don't understand prayer, it may be the very reason why you are struggling is because you and I don't understand prayer the way God intended us to pray. So let's see here. I do have some sheets, and I would like for everybody to have one of these. Actually, John or Levi, can you help me pass that out? Do you have a pencil or a pen? And if you don't, I have a couple here. Just make sure I get these back. These are my favorite pens. Here's Andy. Do you have one? Esther got one. Sam, you got one. Everybody, Chris, you got one. It doesn't matter. Good. We're going to talk about the seven gears of prayer. It would be hard to imagine having a healthy marriage relationship without a husband and wife talking to one another on a regular basis. You following me? If you say you are married, but your communication level is almost zero, I will tell you your marriage is failing. Communication is the number one ingredient in a marriage. A lot of times things are much smaller and much more insignificant when you talk about it. Now, if you tell me that I have a relationship with God, and in the same breath you tell me, but I don't communicate with Him, I'm going to question whether you really have a relationship with God, because it works just like a marriage. The purpose of this study is to help you become more consistent in your prayer life, more passionate about your prayer life. Prayer is the pipeline to power. Prayer is the pipeline to overcoming. And I think just like you have where's your furnace room at, Sam? You have a room for your furnace, right? And if you think about it, that furnace is sort of the power room for the house, and particularly in the wintertime. You know when the powerhouse goes down and you get it fixed, don't you? I believe it is just as important, or at least the thought sounds good, to think that in your home you have a prayer room, or in your church you have a prayer room that you can call the powerhouse. I know some churches, I know some homes that have that, and I think it sounds good. Okay, let's go through here. We're going to study number 5. We've done a couple other ones before this. But James chapter 5 verse 16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." What does effectual mean?
It has effect.
Effective, exactly. The effective, what does fervent mean? Passionate prayer. Now realize that these two words are important. Somebody says, well, I don't think you have to get on your knees and say, dear God, please, this is so important to me. Why can't you just get on your knees and say, Lord, this is very important to me? If I understand the word fervent, it's okay to become passionate. Dear God, it's been 2 days and I've not heard from you, and I still have this thing in my life. Please take it away. So the effective, the passionate prayer of a Does that scare you? Okay, I can handle this one. I can handle that one. You mean I have to be righteous too? Well, that's part of the plan. Righteous man availeth much. What does it mean? Availeth simply means accomplishes. Do you want to accomplish much in your prayer life? Make sure you have the right ingredients. Okay, think of a time, once you think back as a child, you wanted something so bad. You wanted it worse than anything else in the world. Think about that for a second. What was it? How did you go about getting it? Did you get it? Why or why not? Think about it. As a child, or even in your adult life, maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was, I don't know. You really, really wanted it. It was the worst thing you, it was the number one thing you wanted in your life. And you got it. How did you get it? What did you do to get it?
Well, about 5 years ago, I really wanted a PlayStation, so I baked cookies for I don't know how many months, but I took them to a roller skating rink once a month, and I sold them, and we got it. It was used and everything else, but it was mine.
Amen. Thank you. Something else. Something that you really wanted in your life.
A truck. I guess I could say a truck or a motor or anything. Probably the truck was more important to me than that.
So how did you go about trying to get it?
I just got it.
You just went out and got it.
Yeah.
You wanted it and you got it. Okay, well, let's move on. Why do we pray? And what I want to do is, I want you to help me out, and I want to list as many reasons why we pray that you can think of. Why do we pray? Give me some short, if possible, one word.
Needs.
Needs? Is that what kind of needs? Physical?
Physical or personal?
Spiritual
answers.
Answers?
Yeah, just answers to questions in life.
Okay, so answers.
Directions.
And direction.
Once,
just simply once.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Why do we pray?
To get close to God.
Because we want to get closer to God. Burdens lifted.
Passion for other people.
burdens that we carry and passion for lost people. Okay, anything else? Why do we pray?
To overcome our sinful tendencies.
Overcome sin? What else?
Defeat Satan.
Defeat Satan?
Make things work when they don't work. I don't know how
you
say that.
Okay.
Break bondages from the past.
John, I don't know how to write yours down. That's a good one. Bondage.
Wisdom.
And wisdom.
Power.
We want power, right? Power is for direction, power and direction. It's already on there. Okay. Now think it through a little bit more. Why do we pray?
To talk to God.
Just simply communicate with God. Open line. Okay.
Ask the question, do you think really about why do we pray? We pray because we want something fixed or changed in our lives.
That could sum up pretty much what we got here. Okay, that is a very important statement, so let me write that one out. We pray, help me out again, Bob. We pray
because we want something changed or fixed or corrected in our lives.
Because we want something, what?
Changed or fixed or changed.
Changed or fixed in our life. Okay. That statement right there is what we are going to talk about. Not now, but later. Okay, now let's get into our lesson a little bit more. Which one of these purposes do we focus on the most? If you're perfectly honest this morning, which one of these purposes do we focus on the most?
Once?
That's okay.
Wants and desires.
Anybody else want to add to that? Which purposes do we focus on the most when we pray?
Closer to God.
Closer to God. Okay.
I focus a lot on wisdom and direction in life.
You want wisdom to handle the problems and things that come your way in life.
Okay. Also lost people. That's probably about one of the heaviest burdens, especially the
Is it fair to say that Bob is correct when he says, this is why we pray most of the time, because of how it affects me. It's important. How does life affect me? And so our prayer is focused all around who?
Ourself.
I want wisdom because I want to be able to help this person. I want this because somehow it affects me. And so we are often worried about
me, myself, and I.
Trying to find the pronouns in there. We are worried mostly about these two areas when we pray. Is that how God wants us to pray? Is that how God meant for us to pray? Let's keep going. Why do we pray? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. And I would like for somebody to read verse 31 and 32. And here's the question. If God knows what we need, why do we need to pray?
Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things.
Now, what jumps out at you when you read those two verses? Just see if it jumps out at you like it did me when I read it.
That our heavenly Father already knows everything that we need.
For your heavenly Father already knows before you come to him that you are in need of what you're about to pray for. Then why pray? If he already knows, what good father wouldn't supply your need before you ask for it? If I already know that Jonathan needs whatever, a pair of shoes, a PlayStation. Okay, now, needs, want. Let's keep them on the... You know what? No, thanks, Andy. That is exactly our problem most of the time.
But he needs the PlayStation to keep him out of trouble.
Yeah.
I can find other things that would keep him out of trouble. For your heavenly Father already knows before you come to him exactly what you need. Now let's look at verse 33, because don't put the horse before the cart, and it goes right along with that. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. You know what? This, I think, is probably what we struggle with the most. A lot of times we're more worried about the second part of the verse, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's those things that we want. It's those things that we pray about all the time when we do pray. Lord, supply me. Lord, give me. Lord. Is that what he wants us to do? What does he want us to do before we get to that point?
Seek first the kingdom of God.
Lord, I've wanted to be married for years, and I'm still not married, and I'm still single, and God, I can't go on in life until you give me a partner. You know what you're doing? You know what I'm doing? Is we're putting our need before the righteousness of God. God says, seek you what? Second?
First.
First, his righteousness. That's what you and I are supposed to dwell on. Just dwell on God's kingdom and his righteousness. I know you need that partner, but you don't worry about that part. Get your focus off of that, and you can do it. It takes some struggle, and it's not easy, but it's possible. Whatever that need is, you can get that focus off of that and just focus on God's righteousness and his kingdom, and he will provide that need. I've seen it happen over and over. I really believe that. Matthew chapter 6. On your papers, I think, you have Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Now, this is the Lord's Prayer. It's not, God did not expect you to pray this prayer every time you pray. That's not what he meant. The disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They're just like us. Lord, give us the perfect prayer. How would you pray? How do you pray, Lord, when you go to prayer? And this is what Jesus gave them. He says in verse number 9, after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen. Okay, that's the scripture that Jesus gave them. Now, I would like for you to tell me what are some purposes, what are some reasons that you see in the Lord's Prayer that you should pray? How should you pray?
Give glory to God.
What else?
Acknowledge Him.
Acknowledge Him.
Ask Him to come and take control over the world and your own life.
And, okay. Keep looking at the scripture. Make sure you're pulling it out of the scripture. This is the pattern that Jesus gave them.
To give us our daily needs.
To give us our daily needs.
Deliver us from the evil one.
Deliver us from the evil one. What about that forgiveness thing in there?
Forgive our sins. Forgive the sins of others.
Mm-hmm. What do we need to do first before we ask Him to forgive us?
Give us our resentment.
Make sure it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So I guess it goes hand in hand. But if we come to Him asking Him to forgive us and we've not forgiven our person, then probably He will not restore our fellowship until we have cleared our own pages off.
We're actually asking Him to forgive us as we forgive.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the prayer goes.
Amen.
I think it's very important, too, that we recognize the very last thing that comes out is that we recognize the kingdom is His, all the power is His, and all the glory is His. It's in there for a purpose, and I think it's important that we recognize that in our prayer.
That's good, Sam.
I guess I always think of it this way. If you can't recognize God as all kingdom, as all power, and all glory, your prayer is, you know, not pray.
Looking at that pattern, is there more God in there than myself, or is it about balanced out? Half of it is for my own needs, half of it is for God.
I read one time that whole prayer never once says I.
It's a little bit more is for God than about 2/3 for God and 1/3 for us.
I think that's very true. Actually, there's very little in there for. Well, it starts in verse number 11. Give us this day. Forgive us, number 12. Number 13, lead us not into temptation. So that middle is sort of sandwiched in between, but he starts out with all about God. He ends up with all about God again, doesn't he? And I would have to agree, and I think we're going to see even more, that most of the time we go in between the sandwich and hardly bring any of the first part of the pattern in and hardly any of the last part of the pattern. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, the first one I would like to do here is on your sheet, I need 7 groups. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I need 7 people. Okay, I'll take one. I studied this out, but I would like for Sam to take number 1. It's your job, Sam, to go into the scriptures, whatever scripture you have, and study that scripture. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Bob and Chris, I would like to have you go into number 2. I don't have a page like you have, so whatever scripture you have, study that out, and we're going to ask you for the answer that goes on the line. Jonathan, 3. Miriam and Levi, 4. Andy, 5. Esther, 6. And I'll do 7. So if you would go and look at the scripture, give you 5 minutes, and figure out what's the component, what's the key word. Okay, are you, give you just a little bit more time here, but what we're looking for is the seven components of a rich prayer life. Did you get that? All of the verses that you're looking up have to do with one of the components. And if you could imagine gears, it takes seven gears to run this prayer life, this rich prayer life. If you are missing a gear, or if one of the gears breaks down, what is it going to do to your prayer life? Yeah, it will affect the way the machine runs. The first one Sam has. So what is the first component to a rich prayer life? What is the first component? And what I want to do, Sam, is I want you to stand up and read that verse out loud so that everybody can hear it, and then we will guess what the first component to a rich prayer life is. Would you do that?
Yeah. Can you get back to that?
If you would, just kind of mark your pages and put your fingers or something in there when it comes your turn. We'll have you read that verse out loud because everybody needs to really hear.
But the hour is coming, and now is that when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth.
Okay, what would you say is the first component to a rich prayer life? Looking at Jesus' pattern prayer and looking at this, what could be the first ingredient? But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Worship.
Worship is your first answer. Sam, did you get that out of the scripture?
Yeah. Okay. I put worship. I wasn't exactly sure the components, what we're exactly looking for. I thought that's what it was. But I also put spiritual truth down.
Okay.
I didn't know if it was the way we're supposed to ask, or is it what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what we're looking for is
it's a one-word answer, yeah.
Which would be worship is what we're supposed to, how we're supposed to focus.
Yeah. In light of our prayer life, what is the second ingredient, Bob and Chris? Would you stand up and read the verse and then give us the ingredient or the component?
I'll read my verse, but can I stay seated?
You can. You can, Chris.
Okay. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.
John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then the word we come up with was confession.
Excellent. That's exactly the word I was looking at. Now, let's just go ahead. If you can write this down. You don't have to write it down. But if you want a rich prayer life, the first thing, now I'm going off the pattern. I want to remind you again. I'm taking the pattern that Jesus gave us, and I'm finding that the first thing that He is really trying to say when He says, Our Father which art in heaven, is He starts out with worship. And worshiping is simply standing in awe. So the next time that you get down on your knees, before you get into all the things that you need, let's do it like God said. Let's worship Him. Almighty God, I stand in awe. Listen to this. A man was carried in a dream to a church. In his vision he saw the organist vigorously playing the organ, but there was no sound coming from it. The choir got up in the congregation and they began to sing out, but there was no sound coming from these people. Then the minister, he got up and he energetically got into his message, and he could see that in his vision or in his dream that this preacher was saying something, but he couldn't hear a sound coming from the preacher's lips. The man turned in wonder to his angel guide. And the angel said, "You hear nothing, do you? Because there's nothing to hear. These people are not engaged in worship, but only in the form of worship. Their hearts are not touched, and this silence is the silence that is yet unbroken in the presence of God. But listen now," the angel guide said to the man. And listening, the man heard a child's voice, clear and distinct in all that silence. While the minister seemed to pray and the people seemed to join in, only the child's voice was heard, because only the child's heart was touched. That, said the guide, is the only true worship in all this great church today. All others are concerned. Others are concerned with their appearance of worship. Worship is when you fall down before God and you realize that He is the greatest and you stand in awe. And after you have done that, it doesn't take 5 minutes to do that, by the way. You go into the second one, which we're told is confession. Now you look, now that you have awed God, you turn your eyes on yourself and you start to search your own heart and you realize that, hey, wow, I have a long ways to go. And Chris, would you read verse number 6 or verse 5 again? You don't have to stand, but just read it out.
Which one?
Isaiah 6, 5. If you don't have it, that's cool. Isaiah says, "Then said I, woe is me." He saw God. God allowed him to see up into heaven. And the holiness of God made the posts tremble. He didn't even have to say anything. He didn't even have to hear anything. It was just like the holiness went out and the posts began to tremble. And then Isaiah says, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people that also have unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So confession is number 2. Okay, number 3. Jonathan, go ahead, stand up, read the verse, and then tell us, what is the third component?
Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And what I got was love God.
Love God, okay. Your correct answer. But it's 2 words. So let me give you the 1 word. It is adoration, which means loving God. Adore Him. God wants. You mean, well, I just got done worshiping Him. Now I got to adore Him. Matthew says, "Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind." And at this point, esteem God above all. And He likes to hear it, by the way. And you know why He created you. Sam, you preached on it last week.
To worship Him.
To worship Him.
And He alone is worthy.
And He alone is worthy. It's all about Him. Are you getting that? It's not about my want. And so what happens when I get down on my knees and I say, "Lord God, you just saw what I went through. God, help me. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me." When you are really supposed to go down on your knees and say, "Forget what I'm going through. Seek God and His righteousness first." He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to adore Him and esteem Him above all others. That's what real prayer is about. Okay, let's go to number four. Number four, Levi and Miriam. Would you stand up, read number whatever you had.
1 through 6?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with the timbre of the dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
What are we supposed to do, Levi? That's a tough one.
It's pretty easy. We're supposed to praise God. But it's, I guess one word would be praise.
Amen. The one word is praise. So that's your fourth component of a rich prayer life. Now, so far I've worshiped God, I've adored God, and now I have praised Him. And you say, well, that's a whole lot about God and a very little about me. What about poor little me? Well, you can stand there on, or get on your knees and think about yourself and pray for yourself. And you can keep on doing that.
God already knows. Your needs.
And you know what happens a lot of times, Levi? I think in my own life, God doesn't seem to answer what is so important to me. And you know what? All the time He's saying, I am number one. I want you to worship me. Seek my righteousness and my kingdom. Don't worry about what you need. I know what you need. And I will give you all of your needs. I will supply all of your needs. But you've never did number one. You've never worshiped me. You've never adored me. You have forgotten that I made this day for you. And I want to be praised because it is a good day. And that's what prayer is about. Now, let's keep going. Number five, the fifth component to a rich prayer life is Andy. Did you have, or Esther? Did Andy got five?
1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your
requests
be made known unto God."
Andy, I told you the wrong thing. I don't know what I was thinking. You had the right answer, though, if you can remember.
Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Andy. Your fifth component is thanksgiving. And did you hear what he says? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice that he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And then he gives thanks for it immediately. You know, before it even happens, Lord, thank you for hearing me. Thank you for answering my prayer. Amen. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Number six. And Esther, what? Go ahead and read the verse and then tell us what is the sixth component.
"For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth and heaven is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God."
Okay, before you go to the next passage, what is happening here?
What do you mean, what is happening?
What is going on here? He starts out with, "I bow my knees to the Father." What is happening here? What happens when you bow your knees?
You're humbling yourself.
You're humbling yourself, but you're going to prayer. And he says in verse number 16, Esther, how does 16 and 17 say?
That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love.
What is Paul doing here? Is he praying for himself? He is talking about Christ and... Okay. He's making intercession. That's your next word. So after you give thanksgiving, then you have intercession. You see that, Esther? That he would grant you. He's talking to the church. He's praying. He's down on his knees. And he says, my prayer, dear God, is that you would grant my fellow Christian, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts. In other words, what you're doing next, Nestor, you can be seated, is you are making intercession for someone else. Now, we have it, so far, we have a component number one is what?
Worship.
Number two?
Worship.
Confession. Number three?
Adoration.
Adoration. Number four?
Praise.
Number five, do you see, have we talked about my needs yet? It's number seven, isn't it? Number seven is, okay, finally it's my turn. You mean I've had to wait all this time? Yes. Our problem is we start out with this and we end up with this. And then we wonder, why doesn't God care? Is it falling into place? Listen to the words. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God does care about your needs. And he does say, pray and ask for your daily bread. It's okay. God, help me to be protected from evil. That's in the prayer. But your seventh one is, then it's your turn. Now go ahead and request. Give your requests to God. Okay, we're almost done. Got one more question for you. When you pray, do you usually expect God to grant your request? Do you?
Absolutely. Why would you ask if you wouldn't expect Him to grant?
Okay. So Sam says absolutely. Bob says not really.
What about the church? When they were praying for Peter and he came to the door, they said, no, that's not him. That's just his ghost, his spirit.
Well, I can put myself in their shoes. There are times when I'm strong and I believe that God is going to answer, but there are quite a few times when I'm with Bob. Lord, I've been begging you. And it's probably because I have been concentrating on our, we, I, myself, and I, and my needs, and I've not done what He wants me to do.
But does God always agree with what I think that are my needs? He may not always agree. He may be truly concerned about my needs, but what I think that are my needs may not really be my needs sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We can be thankful that God truly understands our needs better than we do.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people say, boy, I prayed. I thought this was going to be my marriage partner. I loved her, and I prayed, and I asked God, please give me her. And it just wouldn't work out, and I went through a hard time, but I finally let go and married somebody else. And later years looked over and said, boy, I am thankful God didn't answer my request. Bob must have had a similar experience.
Same experience.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you might want to keep in mind is sometimes God says no. That's just as much an answer as yes. Sometimes He says maybe or wait. I guess it's the second one. No, wait, or yes. So those are the three possibilities. You know which one I don't like? You know which one I like the worst?
is wait.
Wait.
Later.
Okay, you said no, I'll accept that, or yes, but when it's later, you're holding the bag. Lord, are you saying no, yes, or are you saying wait? And anyways. Okay, the next time you pray, remember what we studied today. And I want to, for you that don't have internet, I want to give you one of these. I would really, really actually give you one. And Sam, I'm going to email you this. But this is the lesson, but it's even, Andy, this is for you. I would encourage you. I would desperately encourage you to read this. It's good. It will reaffirm what we studied today and even much more. It's really good. If you want to know how to pray, read that. Use it for your devotions, whatever. Okay, any other comments? Anything you'd like to say about...
Real good.
This was good.
Excellent.
Yes.
Good. Awesome.
Something we call me.
Mm-hmm. It answered a lot for me. Kind of like at the beginning, you know, you asked this out of a whole list, you know, what we focus on truthfully, and I said, look.
Yeah. I wish everybody was as honest as you, Bob, because that is exactly, if we're honest, that's our thing right there. We pray because we want something changed or fixed in my life. God, I can't stand this chop one more day. God says, you haven't worshipped me yet. Lord, we thank you for giving us the pattern of prayer, and help us, Lord. We are weak and feeble-minded and selfish. We really, truly are. But God, with your help, we can overcome that. And this message was for all of us. Help us, dear God, to have a rich prayer life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.